conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this. Violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. This Galentine's Day, why not give yourself and your loved ones the gift of my cackle? That's right. The number one way to support the Andy Scrolls podcast, yours truly, my burgeoning shoe collection and copious credit card debt, is to join the Andy Scrolls Patreon, patreon.com/AndyScrolls. You get exclusive bonus episodes, three of which were released this week, including an epic one-hour deep dive with Vice senior culture writer Alex Zaragoza, and invites to special events, including the Galentine's Gab, a Zoom kiki with Patreon supporters at the OG of the AG level, and People's Couch level on Thursday, February 25th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a chance to sass and delight about all things Salt Lake City and more, and get those bonus episodes. Give me a little bit of cash. Patreon.com/AndysGirls. Why don't you sign up today and enjoy this very special Galentine's episode of Andy's Girls? It's Andy's Girls. It's episode 199, which is feels it? Like a fucking wow. Fever dream situation. Just a couple inches away from ep 200. And I am so excited about a very special episode of AG with some very special people. This is a Galentine's Day special. Have I used special against? That's, again, too many times. Who knows? Drinking game alert, whatever. Drink your water and have a good day. Guys, it's the People's People's panel, and I'm so thrilled to welcome Abby and Vanessa, also known as the Real Moms of Bravo. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Oh my God, a pleasure, a thrill. Kate Casey, who's the host of Reality Life with Kate Casey.
It's the worst.
No, I love it. I'm obsessed with it, which features interviews with reality stars, directors, and producers of unscripted television, my favorite form of TV. Moni Marcus, who hosts a Bravo and pop culture podcast mixer called Mixing with Moni. And I have been on it a couple times and I've loved it.
Yes, you have. And I'm so excited to be here with you.
Oh my God, so excited to have you here with me. And writer Samantha Bush, also known as She is a writer. She's a writer girl. She's a writer girl. And we're so here for it. And guys, welcome to the People's People's Galentine's Day couch, first and foremost. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
This is so fun. Only you would come up with these kind of things, Sarah. I always have a good time with you.
Well, let me just say this. First off, this is the second ever panel episode of AG. So it only took 190 whatever for me to do this fun little social experiment. And I have to say the idea for this came from a conversation with Her Holiness Kate Casey when we were talking about the importance of women's voices when it comes to content creation inside of the Bravo community.
Right.
Because ultimately, the vast majority of the stories that we love to watch and discuss are about women's lives. And we need to support and amplify women's voices. So literally, it was like a late night DM sesh or something with Kate Casey where Kate just like DMs me and sends me these fucking pearls of wisdom. And then an idea, like a little, you could see the conversation bubble in my head as she's like typing. And I was like, oh my God, and Galentine's is upon us. And P.S. I have a special surprise at the end of this episode that you're going to like die over. Hopefully it won't actually kill you, but it's a fun little moment. But I just have to shout out Kate Casey, who does support other women.
The biggest advocate, Kate Casey, is the real one.
Just drives me crazy that we're like always talking about housewives. I'm like, these are stories about women, watched by women. Let's keep women talking about what goes on in women's lives. Like, we need to...
A concept.
You know what I mean? Like, what? Okay. I've said my piece.
I 100% agree, and I think no better day to do it than on the holiest of days, Galentine's Day, which, P.S., is that technically supposed to be the day before Valentine's?
Yes. Leslie Knope would look down on you, Sarah. Galentine's Day is February 13th. Parks and Rec fans, you know.
I'm a diehard Parks and Rec fan. I treat myself every day, but I always think in my head, maybe it's because I'm perpetually single, that I have like reset instead of the day before, because that's really for like couples, so that you have the day before to shout out your friends and then the day of is with your like significant other. So I like to stretch it. I'm like, let's do a full long weekend of Galentine's, because I always think of it as like the spiritual February 14.
Yeah.
So, first off, do you guys have any plans for a COVID-safe Galentine or Valentine's Day celebration?
No. It's just a regular day.
I have backup plans.
You have backup plans? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So, I like recently... Yeah, what does I recently started seeing someone. I'm not sure if he's going to do anything for Valentine's Day. I did tell him I stress the importance that I love Valentine's Day. So, like, the standards and expectations are high. But I have backup plans with my best friend in case, like, he doesn't pull through, then I'm just going to, like, go hang out with her.
Love that. Wow. That sounds nice.
You have to, you know?
Valentine's is tough early in a relationship. Like, it's hard to know what, like, what are you going to do? And like, do you want, like, especially now in a pandemic, like, are you going to go to dinner? Are you going to go to an igloo?
Ooh.
You know, those are like the yeah. things here. Yeah.
I know. And, like, and it's 12 degrees here.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's a lot.
Yeah. But I told him what I expected.
Well, that's good. Okay. Well, then he should be expecting to do yeah. something, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. He fucking better.
I like that you gave him a list of options to surprise you with. I think that's very smart. And I love, I mean, I keep getting a UPS notification that something's coming from something. There's like a two word something Ooh. Bouquet. And Ooh. I know it's no. So there's going to be a buzz that goes off. I'm perpetually single. And I know it's going to end up be like being the name of the shop that I bought batteries from on Prime. So it's like, I know that bouquet does not stand for flower in any way. So I'm just waiting for that moment of devastation when I see the like toilet paper that I forgot I purchased at 3 a.m. on Monday night.
What kind of batteries did you get for what?
I got double. Oh. Double A.
Single, you say.
Double A here to play. There we go. So listen, ladies, I want to get your thoughts on your favorite Bravo Galentine's and so much more, but I have to start by getting your thoughts on what I felt was a historic moment in the history of Bravo TV, aka part one of the Salt Lake City reunion. Did everybody watch?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, Kate, can I start with you? What are your thoughts on Salt Lake so far this season? And mm-hmm. what did you feel about Reunion P1?
I thought first two episodes in were good. The rest of them tanked. The reunion was better than all the episodes. I thought Lisa looked unstable. Meredith kind of put in an okay performance. Mary brought it. And halfway there, I thought she should take over as host. And then I reminded myself I'm troubled. She probably runs a cult. Heather was authentic and her fantastic self. And Jen, I just think probably 10 minutes in realized I look ridiculous and I should just shut up.
That is a hot take, Kate. I'm here for it.
I agree with like 75% of that.
Is
like,
it opposite, Kate? Yeah. You felt like the first two episodes were good and the rest of the season was not?
Super stupid. Yeah. Yeah.
That is a hot take.
I just feel like none of them are really true life friends. They just took a bunch of people, threw them in a room, and they were pretending to be friends for all this time. And I just thought it was stupid. Yeah, not their best work. Sorry. But the reunion was really good. But it's kind of like what I felt like with Southern Charm. I felt like their reunion was way better than all this, the entire season. I felt mm-hmm. like Salt Lake. Oh. But then you remember they filmed this. I was talking to Meredith while she was filming. So that was like a year ago. So they've right. watched all this stuff happen. And, you know, they're coworkers. Those two people are not friends. They're all coworkers. I felt like I was watching coworkers who are hanging out after work who actually hate each other.
Sorry. Like the pity invite to the happy hour.
This is a lot to process.
That's a lot. I'm going to mm-hmm. take a moment to myself and just kind of ruminate. Vanessa, what are your thoughts?
Oh, wait.
On this,
can I just please. One last thing is
yeah.
I felt like
the sky is purple.
Well, I really like Heather and I feel like she was living her life on camera, but I felt like mm-hmm. Lisa Barlow treated the season like an infomercial.
Yep. I enjoyed it. So
it was so delusional.
I'm the complete opposite of UK. I soaked up.
I think it's because I just watch so much TV that it takes a lot at this point to blow my hair back, and it didn't happen until the reunion.
Was your hair blown?
It was. I'm a cheap date, you know. Take me to a Chick-fil-A and I'm a happy girl. So I'm a cheap date. I enjoyed Salt Lake. I thought it was a great season. I thought it was fun. It was, you know, unlike the pandemic shows that we've been watching, like the OC, even parts of Atlanta, it was just entertaining to me. Lisa Barlow, I agree with everything you're saying, but to me, I just find her so entertaining as like a caricature of herself. Like I look at it from a humorous mm-hmm. standpoint, just everything she does yes. from the whiteboard, like it's ridiculous, but it's entertaining and funny to me. And the same with Mary. It's just kind of things. These are people I would never interact with on my everyday life, but seeing them be over the top is really humorous to me.
Monty, what are your thoughts watching this season and the P1?
Yeah, I mean, I'd almost be scared of these people in real life. Like, I would shy away from them terrified. Very quickly because, like, a Mary, well, that's everyone's scared of. But, like, Elisa is, like, frantically put together, and it makes me anxious to see how anxious she is about, like, there's a scene in a moment in the season that I just thought was iconic where she's taking her kids to the aquarium to spend time with them and talking about how she needs to build a business with them to spend time with them. And I'm like, what you are doing in essence is spending time with your kids right now. And she's like, the only thing I can do to make sure they know I love them is make them money makers. And I felt that's she's setting them up for life. And I'm like, she's ridiculous, but I absolutely love her because not for what she's putting forth. That's one thing I think I got from this season. It wasn't for what they were putting forth. It's for what I connected with of them that they probably individually would hate to know that we love them for. And I was just talking to Eric and Megan from The Daily Dish, like right before this, about how they were like the housewife formula, right? That they were talking about what makes a good housewife. And the reason that we people connect with Heather so much is because she just showed up and was like, this is it. Like, I'm tired. Like, I can't be anything other than myself right now. Yeah. But the reason why people loved everyone else is because of the moments where they had no idea that their vulnerability was showing or like that their facade was down. And those are the moments that we connected with the most.
Sam, can I ask you, there's been a critique about Salt Lake City that I have heard from people where some people feel like Salt Lake City came pre-baked, where it was women who had seen Housewives. Some women in the cast had seen Housewives and decided which Housewives character they were going to be during this season. And for some viewers, it felt a little performative. Is that an opinion that you would agree with, or do you feel a little bit differently?
I guess I agree with it a little bit, but it worked. Like, if that's what they did, like, I loved it. And I think, like, what Monty was saying about Heather is every franchise needs a Heather. Mm-hmm. Like, someone who's, like, grounded in reality, who kind of is, like, the touchstone for us to be like, okay, these are real people. Like, this is a real woman. Like, I feel like in New Jersey, like, Jackie is that person, or, like, Bethany for like a minute was that person, and then it was Carol. And then Carol lost it. And but I think, I mean, everyone by now has seen Housewives. So even if there were to be new Housewives joining an already established franchise, I mean, it kind of would be the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I loved every episode.
I mean, I have said repeatedly on Andrew's Girls how much you could like inject it straight into my veins. I knew that the reunion was going to be good. I felt it, and then I've watched it four times, which is like,
oh my god,
it's not four is not going to be the last time. I watched it again before we started recording, so I was like, I need a little bit of a refresher. And I do have to say, before when we all got together in our little Zoom kiki, we touched on the Brittany of it all very briefly before we started this chat. And I'm listening to kind of some of the dynamics with Lisa, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, the last 700 times that I watched part one, in my head, a little bit of a light bulb came off. And I don't know if this is incredibly misplaced, and it could be, but in watching the Brittany documentary, joined with seemingly everyone else in the world this week, the New York Times Hulu collab, I had to kind of really rethink as someone who came of age during that Britney generation, both when she was a big star and then when kind of the world shifted and looked at her and treated her very differently as she grappled with, you know, her own journey. And I thought to myself, wow, it really does kind of make me really rethink about the ways in which misogyny shaped my own perception of Britney's experience, let alone the world's participation in parts of her downfall. And then I started thinking about Salt Lake City and my own feelings about Lisa during this season. You know, the point that I think Monty just raised about the idea that for her connecting with her kids had to be hand in hand with a business deal, which when that came out during the season, I was like, ooh, I actually don't know if I love this because it felt to me like there was a way in which her kids felt like the ability to get mom's attention and her time was in doing business with her.
To be moneymakers.
To be moneymakers, which can be a positive thing, but then it can also be the let's just like chill with the penguins a little bit.
Hello.
But then, right, you know what I'm saying? But then I started thinking about the Britney of it all and also some of the points that Lisa was raising in the reunion, which was like, this is my personality. Don't judge me for this. And I wonder if some of my perception of her has been shaped by some of the similar energy that I carried for Britney. Does that make any sense where I'm like judging and critiquing her for being a badass bitch? And it's like, wait a second. Would I still feel the same way if it was her husband expressing the same behavior that she is? Kate, what are your thoughts?
I didn't have a problem at all with her talking about this is my problem with Lisa. I think she went into this like, this is a great business opportunity for me, where she went way too much on the seesaw that way. Like, I have to plug every episode every time I can. Vita to Tequila, how much I do it in Sundance, this made up skincare line that my children came up with. We got to plug that in every single. It felt like she went over the top. There's a great way to prove your point. Like, I'm a working mom and I'm building businesses and I'm a modern version of the American woman. But I felt like it became too salesy at some point. And that's my problem with her. I didn't feel like the editing, I think that's probably who she is. I think she's probably a great mom. And I don't think she's actually like that in real life. I just think she was like, oh shit, I'm on camera. Let's maximize this. And I feel like that's some of the problem that I had with the season, where I was like, just relax and be you. Like, don't try to, you know, push anything. Like, just let it all unfold on camera.
What if this is her?
I don't have. Oh, what if that is her?
Yeah.
I mean, would I want to hang out with her? Probably not. She's a little annoying. But to your point about the misogyny, I thought about that too. But you know where I was triggered by it was when Andy as host said, Jen, so it's clearly clear that you've had some plastic surgery. Do you want to list for us what you got done? And I just thought, in 5 years, are we going to look back and go, why was that acceptable to ask that? I'm more interested in somebody's character and their behaviors and the choices they make in their lives. I'm not all that interested in like somebody got a nose job. Is that okay that a man is asking a woman about that on television? I could be wrong, but I kept thinking about that.
I totally hear you. I also think like with Heather's business being what it was and a scene filmed where Jen is getting an injectable in the back of her knees or whatever, I felt like it was a pretty valid question, but I also think in the scale of importance, it's, you know, below the floor maybe a little bit, you know.
But then say what they all had done, and I was like, I mean, I appreciated Whitney taking it with a grain of salt and being like, oh yeah, these are natural, but I get what you're saying, Kate. I was like, this is like,
we're more than what we look like. We are
right.
It was like, we're women who are multi-layered, who are married, who have children, who have had extraordinary life experiences, and we should be talking about the relationships that we have with one another and the reasons that we have conflict, and not about let's go through each person and talk about how they've changed.
Because it's
minimizing someone, and it's making women look like you have had to like change yourself, like you've had to make modifications to yourself. And I just felt like, I don't know, are we going to look back, if we're professors 10 years from now, are we going to go, that was not a good moment for the way women were perceived on television?
This end of the Summer House season this year, are we going to ask Luke the same question? Like, you went from hot to not. What happened here? Like, if we're not going to ask him the same question of why did you shave your whole face and now you're not even that cute? If we're not going to do that, then if it's not an equal opportunity physical
hazing, like uninterested. Do we ask Craig, so you look like you gained some weight. What's going on? Shep, you don't, your hair's just a mess. Like,
I think we should.
We're never doing that.
It's part of the reason why we watch these shows is some of the superficialness of their lives. Like, I like knowing about the plastic surgery, but I agree. Like, I think Shep and Craig, like, first of all, cut your hair, like, look presentable for a reunion. Maybe that's the mom of me, but I was like, fucking cut your hair.
Well, he's not cutting it because for COVID, there's like a
if you're sense hanging of, like, with COVID Justin, where you're not, Anderson, Craig's not concerned you can get with a little trip. Right. You were hanging out with the hairstylist.
Okay, exactly. He got his clippers in the bag.
But no, I mean, he could quite possibly 10 years from now use this as, you know, a case study as to how women were treated and was reality TV part of the, like, just like the tabloids are part of Britney's downfall. Was that a contributing factor that we have these platforms where people want to know everything these women are doing? I also think for some of it too, I like knowing and I like people that own it because there is a sense of, like, for some of these, I'm like, oh my God, they're so perfect. Their skin's so perfect. Yeah, they're spending $2,500 a month to have perfect skin. It just, like, it makes you feel a little bit better if you don't have that because you're not getting all that.
I do think it can become a little bit empowered in the sense of, like, let's say Madison in the Southern Charm reunion, like, very much owned her plastic surgery and what she's gotten done. And I think it can be, I think as women, and Kate, I think you bring up a lot of really good points and things, honestly, I've never thought of because I think because I'm so used to the culture of housewives, I've not thought of it in that light, but you bring up really, really good points there. But I think, too, I think women, if they choose and want to have plastic surgery, they can feel empowered by that as well, as long as it's on their terms. Oh. And on their terms. It becomes a little different when, you know, a man is bringing
it the helm
and bringing it up.
Who's in the power position.
For sure.
Who everyone believes is the decision maker about who stays, who goes, is asking pointedly, did you change your aesthetic and why? Versus Madison saying, I felt great about myself. I'm a business owner. I spent money to change my body. Those are two very different things. That's what troubles me. Yeah.
Yes. He specifically pointed out Whitney's boobs, and that did make me go, oh, okay, we're doing this. And he was like, they're bigger now, right? And I'm like,
what is that? Yeah. Is that okay?
That wasn't great. But I was also wondering if she got her boobs done.
I know, but I think you can ask that in a way that he cannot ask that.
But you let me write it in and you ask it from the car, like, you know, Samantha in New York wants to know, you know.
Was dying. Yes. I was like, those are huge.
Yeah, they looked great. I mean,
they look tight and right. Meredith, but I was like, I need to know.
But don't you think, Meredith? Like, if you were the host,
Sam,
if you were the host and you said, Whitney, you've never looked better. And then you made a comment, something like, you've never looked better. You look great. That would be softer than, did you get your boobs done?
I think the way he frames it.
Yeah,
like the way he frames it sometimes, it's like, it's not very complimentary.
No.
It's always got like this underhanded, like little.
Thank you.
It's definitely pushing a boundary.
Because he knows that Jen obviously has had work done because it was a huge part of like the social media online conversation was how different she looks than she did before.
Yeah.
Or at least I saw a lot of that.
And then
after it, he says, here's a question from an interview or a question. Jen, you're in your 50s. Like, why are you throwing temper tantrums? And she goes, I'm not in my 50s. I was like, listen, what the fuck? Like,
I do have to say, weird. I had someone troll me on IG this week, and one of their insults was, you look like you're almost 40. And I got a bunch of people being like, you don't at all. And then some friends of mine from high school were like, TikTok. that's not so much an insult as truth of math and science.
I'm 43, so... Yeah.
Okay, I'm mid-20s plus, and I've been this way for the last 11 years. Oh, look, a bird.
Mid-20s plus.
I do have to say, when it comes to the ideas of plastic surgery and the questions about narrative and perfection meeting the intersection of reality TV, when we're watching women tell their stories and try to be in charge of their stories, knowing that they're not the final editor on these productions, there is something really that I find invigorating about the idea that Madison got in front of this and, yeah. and essentially said, there's nothing shameful about mm-hmm. me making a choice that makes me feel better at the end of the day. And, you know, Leah went on social media a week or so after having a septorhinoplasty and said, here's a picture of me essentially in bed or with a bandage or whatever. And I wanted to do this and I did, which I think resets the power structure.
I agree.
In her control, so that if you want to share something or you don't, a la, you know, Ramona or someone else, you get to make that decision for yourself. And I can understand sensitivity around the idea of even the question being presented in the way that it is, where a person has to feel almost uncomfortable with the idea of making a decision that, you know, maybe they wanted to be a private matter, but they are also on reality TV. It's a mm-hmm. it's a really right. sensitive territory. And as Kate, you said, there is a difference in, it's like intent versus impact, which is like one of my favorite all-time phrases on AG. It's a different kind of experience when it's a man asking a question versus a woman. It just by the nature of who is asking the question, let alone why are they, it lands differently to me, you know? And that's one of many examples of the idea that, you know, when women are kind of having these conversations, it's more like a, you know, like with Leah, I honestly got into her DMs and was like, who's your doctor? Because yeah. I fell on my face a couple months ago and fucked up my nose and went to an ENT several times. And at the end, he was like, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Like, you need to have something taken care of. And I genuinely contacted Leah and was like, who's your
doctor?
Well,
you trusted her. Yeah, you trust her opinion.
And I also appreciated that she was honest about mm-hmm. it, you know, right. because if you like fuck up your face or you don't and you just want to tweak it, there's nothing wrong in getting that done. There's nothing wrong. There's something great about announcing it. And also, if you don't, that's still your choice too. You're the one that's deciding for yourself how to engage, you know?
Yeah. Margaret Josephs is really good about, I think, mm-hmm. owning whatever she has done. Like, whereas with Melissa Gorga, I think she was a little bit more
mm-hmm. old school.
Not
so
much.
She still hasn't admitted she's old school. Like, I think it's basically, I think, kind of going the Jin Chao route of like Botox and fillers. And I have to suspect a little more than that.
And by the way, I don't mind that either, unless you, maybe if you have a skincare company a la JLo and you're like, I've never had anything done, and you're, that's false. That, because to me, that's false advertising.
That's why but Ramona lies. I mean,
ageless. Ageless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll buy.
Sorry, did I buzzkill that? Sorry.
No, I think it's an important, I mean, this is like the whole point of a conversation like this, where we can kind of get into not the minutiae, but get into the nuance of it all, which is a really interesting place where we can all have different experiences as women watching these shows, but also hearing someone else's experience watch it can change, you know, your own opinion or view or not, just understand it better, which I think is great. I mean, when you watched,
you know,
Reunion People, yeah, tell me.
I was going to ask you, those of you that are single, how has Real Housewives shaped the way that
Sam and I.
you think about think about marriage, though? I mean, you guys have been watching these shows and you get the benefit of watching different relationships. And it, you know that you know that's ahead of you. Does that ever, like, when you're dating, are you thinking, oh my God, this guy's a total Joe Gorga. Like, this is not going to happen for us.
Yes.
Sam.
I literally had this conversation with my therapist this week.
Tell me.
I swear, I really did. I just think it's really, really interesting to watch all of these different relationships play out and notice, like, I'm like, oh God, I could never be with a Joe Gorga, or I could never be with a, I don't know, who's like any of the gyms. Like, I could never be with a gym.
Mark Casey, Bolino.
Edmonds, yeah. Like, none of it.
Edmonds.
But then, like, because then you also see a lot of yourself sometimes in these shows mm-hmm. that is, like, really eye-opening. And I don't know, I think it kind of does shape the way that I look at relationships and, like, their power structure or, like, just, like, my own psychosis, mm-hmm. like, my own, like, behavior. So I don't know. It's, like, I don't know if that even made sense.
No, it totally does. Yeah. What about you?
Okay.
I mean, listen.
Yeah, Sarah.
Listen, I watch Housewives, and it's like my experience is how do I think about myself through the lens in which I watch these women and their behaviors. And I think from the jump, the idea of Real Housewives has been, you know, behind the picket fence, whatever the fuck phrase you want to use in Orange County, where it's the mm-hmm. idea that these women have a lot. It's the show me game of I'm showing you my wealth, I'm showing you my beauty, I'm showing you whatever, but there are still shards of glass underneath, and it's the examination of the difficulty that I find really fascinating.
Yeah.
And from a relationship perspective, I mean, in a previous life, I'm now a current retired nanny, but I was mm-hmm. a full-time nanny. I was a live-in nanny. I worked for celebrities here in New York, whatever. And regardless of which family I was working for, I had conversations with like every woman in a dynamic that was similar, which is date a lot, shtup a lot of people.
Yeah.
This isn't all that there is, and there's a lot of complication behind the idea of marriage. My parents got married when they were like kids. My parents have been married for over 50 years. It was wow. Vietnam era. They got married when they were 21 and 22, wow. and then waited to have kids over 10 years until they had my brother, and then like don't do the math on that, but a little while longer before they had me. Oh, look, a bird. And so for me, I've always had kind of a different view of marriage. You know, my work now, rest in peace, is as an event producer, and I had a different idea of even of even a wedding than other people have. I wasn't interested in the big grand event because I work on those professionally. I always think like the most romantic thing is like go to City Hall or like have a nice little dinner party for 10 people and then go to Paris for a month. You know, my expectations have changed based on life circumstances more than necessarily the show, which to me has always been pretty specific in I'm sure I have learned a lot about relationships and watching some of the good or more likely not so good on Housewives, but I don't know that that has done a better job of informing me versus the fact that I have been in real world dynamics where I have seen people in New York who have a lot of wealth and a lot of problems, sometimes directly related to that wealth. And watching, you know, it's been like heteronormative relationships, husband and wife. And there is a dynamic in place of like an allowance or the differences in a relationship if it's the wife's family supporting the, you know, who signed the papers at the, you know, the perfect 7-room, whatever you call it, I think it's actually called like a perfect 6 or perfect 7 on Park Avenue, where you have the beautiful place, and the idea that it actually came from like the wife's side of the family, you know.
Yeah.
There's been a lot that has like informed my idea of relationships. And also sometimes there have been long stretches of my life where I haven't dated because I've been like focusing on like my mental health journey or mm-hmm. buying shoes that you guys have seen, or like,
which is also a part of the mental health journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Where I have purposefully not even allowed myself the opportunity to seek out a relationship because there were other things that took more importance and focus. And now I've reached a time in my life where I look around and a lot of my friends are in significant relationships with their partners and their spouses, many of whom have kids. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, well, I know a lot about Teresa and Joe. Like, yeah, maybe I'm not in a relationship right now, but it doesn't mean I'm not examining relationships. And many times that vehicle has been Bravo TV.
I've also been thinking lately about, we've all been watching The Housewives for so long. Like, is there one housewife that triggered you that you can look back and go, they triggered me and now I know why? Like, for me, Alexis Bellino has always triggered me because I feel like she represents everything that I think that women of the 50s represented. And I would be angry at her. Like, you have this platform and you're staying with this husband who demoralizes you. And you have just said on television that you don't think a woman could be president. And you are somebody that symbolizes like the like things that are surfaced, like things matter and not conversations, getting to know other people, learning more about them. So I know that she triggers me and I know why. For all of you guys, do you have somebody too where you're like, they trigger me and here's why?
Sam.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I think that like the show has really evolved because I feel like the materialistic aspect of it was such a focus in the very beginning. And I know Alexis wasn't in the very beginning, but considering that it's been on for 15 years, like she was definitely more so. Like I remember like they used to show like them go shopping and the price tags of this and that. And that's really, I think it's really evolved into something like more examining like them as women rather than like just women who shop or women who, I don't know. But I always think like I use the term like lily pad. Like they, I think sometimes women get on the show to end their relationships.
Scary.
Because, but like I can just see like some of these women who don't have that independence and they get on the show, they finally have
it. Take their power back.
Their husband. Yeah. Yeah, their husband hates it. And they're like, fuck you. I'm making my own money. I'm going to do what I want. I thought Emily Simpson was going to be that way for a minute. Like, I thought she was going to end up leaving Shane.
I can see that.
But, like, or, like, you see it. We saw it with Kieran Huger this year. Like, her and Ray had this huge problem. And he was like, she gives her business all this attention. And she's doing this. And she's like, yeah, I'm, like, my own independent person now. And he hates it. Yeah.
I thought Amber Marchese was going to be the one. Honestly, the fact that she triggers me. I think there's something about, I remember the time watching it before I had a podcast. I was talking to Vanessa and like talking about it. And I was like, oh, I would love her if it wasn't for her husband. And that is what triggered me about her, is that husband made her unlikely, made her socially not invited to anything. She didn't stand up for it. She stayed with them. I would love to know if she agrees with it.
She does.
I'm up here. She does.
She does.
But does she really? Like, I mean, none of us have really sat down.
That's true.
I think that's a trigger to me.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Moni, who's your trigger? Who's your trigger housewife?
For me, it's a hot take, but it has to be Monique because I really wanted.
Yes.
I
just startled myself.
My ears perked up. I was like.
Because it's when I did like a comparison episode where I watched her first season season three rather, where it was like they were showing a lot of contrast between her and Candace. Candace had, you know, said terrible things to Chris the night before, then they were going to get the prenup, and you're really like, they should not make it down the aisle. And then the very next scene is Monique and Chris going to like their standard Wednesday date night, and he loves the shit out of her, and he is like, you know what, you need a trip, girl, I'm gonna send you and all your friends to another place, and I love you so much, it's for your birthday, we're the best. And then you flash forward to now where Chris is the best part of Candace for a lot of reasons.
Oh, yeah.
And then you look at Monique and you're looking at her, Chris, and you're like, I know you did not just tell this woman that if it's not making money by the end of the year, when you don't even know what she's doing, that she has to give it up. Yeah. And I don't care if that's not how he meant it, but just like you're saying, intent versus impact. It was like, you know, as a podcaster, as someone who is a content creator, I'm like, there's going to be lots of times something may not be profitable, but also we don't measure profitable the same way. And for me, for him to just swoop in, assess, well, this isn't doing what I think it should be doing, though I don't know what it is you're doing, and I've not taken the time to invest in asking you, being involved in all of that shit, I'm gonna just tell you to hang it up because I have the purse strings. I'm like, oh no. I mean, yes, she spent way too much money on a podcast.
Right.
Girl, Anchor is free. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but
that's what, as a podcast,
I do not understand that.
I mean,
at all.
Office space, and she had assistants
she
and
had
all those
someone,
things. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like at least, I would say that's like probably 70K
right
there.
Yeah, she has a lot of things going on. But at the same time, I'm like, who are you to say that? Because it triggered me because it made me think of the old school, really old school housewives, where it was like the men wouldn't see the value of the woman bringing in something if it wasn't in dollars and cents. And I am like looking at Chris, I'm looking at even Travis Holman in Dallas, like You Ugh. Would be lost if your wife took 5 days. I would say 5 hours, but like you'd be calling her every 5 minutes. Where are the chicken nuggets? Are they allowed to eat nuts? I'm so confused. So, yeah. so to treat yeah. Monique as if like she's only as good mm-hmm. as what she can bring money wise, and then to say when she's like, "I want some more help," and he's like, "Well, just hire someone." She goes, "No, I want it to literally be you, my yeah. partner, who I married and took vows with." Yeah. And his response being, "Well, then you can't be tired at night when I want to fuck." I was like, "Oh, you better go ahead. I think you need to yeah. exit stage left right
yeah.
now."
These
like,
are I so just didn't... interesting. I'm glad you brought this up.
She triggers me because I love her separately. And then it's like, you almost see mm-hmm. some kind of switch happen in her own, the way she thinks of herself. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wonder what her own take would have been had she got in the car and called her husband after that fight and been like, "I just fought with my ex-best friend." And he would have not said, "That's embarrassing." You know what I mean? Like, if he would have just been like, "Are you okay?" Like, what would that have looked like for her? Like, would she not have taken the defense? Like, to make her feel like she has to cleanse with the pastor? And then he'd be like, "Well, I just want to make up with Chris." I'm like, it just made me feel like, Monique, you are such a badass. I just want to see you be supported in the same badass level. Like, I want badass support for a badass woman.
Vanessa, can I ask who yours is?
Yes, mine is LVP. So,
yes! Oh my God, Lisa, I said already. Oh,
I think for
yes,
me,
dig in.
I think
lean in.
I'm nervous because
I know
her so
a lot of people
She's
love
so
LVP.
Bad.
Do it.
She's
here's
so
the
bad.
Vanessa, do it. Go deep.
No,
deep
here's
cut.
The thing with LVP that triggers me and. I think it's different than in a Bethany. So on Housewives, very rarely do we have a woman who's come into the show pre-LVP that has like the strong foundation, business presence, like has made it's like self-made, has made something of herself. And I think of how she's used her platform on that. Yes, she's done so much more for the dogs than she's done for people. And that's what triggers yes. me. Not saying animals aren't yeah, important by any means.
She's passionate about dogs.
Animals are important, but in terms of people, and I know she is someone's going to come at me now. And they're like, "She does a lot for the gay community."
She does
do a lot for the gay community. But given how everything was handled with Stassi and Kristen, and you know Max and Brett and all that stuff, I just felt like you could kind of see the true colors of LVP in terms of I want to make money and this I'm going to speak up because I need to and my hand's been forced, but I'm not going to change or truly use my position in a manner that can better my businesses, if that makes sense. Yeah. So that's kind of where I have issues with her. And also as a housewife, she never has accountability. Team Kyle forever. And, oh, that was my dog.
Oh, my God. The dog is like, "Go fuck yourself."
Yeah. That was my dog who's like, yes.
Dogs for life.
He really, no, basically that was Jackson being dogs, like, what the fuck? Yeah. But no, I just feel like, I just think from a businesswoman perspective, and I think she's very manipulative in how she uses her platform, and it's very transparent and never feels authentic to me.
Well, that yes. Vanessa, you're inherently an incredibly empathetic person, and I think mm-hmm. it frustrates you that she's got this platform and she's an inherently selfish person.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's a really great way to put it. I think I just hate people. I just don't like apologies that don't serve anything, and not even that she has to apologize, but if you're going to use time and write a statement, like, don't just use a bunch of words to make yourself look good. That mm-hmm. selfishness. Yeah. Like, actually
yes.
use it and be a little bit, be a good person. It's not that hard. Just be a good yeah, person.
It's profit over
yeah,
people.
Yeah, yeah. So her. I just think she's, mm-hmm. I don't know, she's not my favorite, not looking forward to her e-show, and that's my soapbox on LVP.
No one will watch that.
Yeah, no. Or the Vanderpump Dogs one, if that's still happening. But like, if she did really allegedly tell Faith to act more like Nene, I feel like that for me was mm-hmm. my defining moment where I loved wow. LVP on the show. And then when I heard that, when everything did happen, I was like, this is next level. And I think someone wow. was like, well, she's not in charge of who she hires. I'm like, first of all, it's literally her name on the door, right? Mm-hmm. And it's her show on the marquee. Like, her name is on the marquee of the show, on the TV guide. This is, She's putting people forward and co-signing their behavior to a particular level because she wants to get something from it. Like she wanted it to be a hit.
Yes.
And she wasn't, she didn't take any responsibility for, although it, she'll take a responsibility for it being a hit and say, these kids are so special and I love them. And that's really why she took of her entire staff, these plucked people to be on TV. And you mean to tell me she never knew there was ever a culture problem like going on behind closed doors? And to tell Faith that she should act more like NeNe, and if she basically, because she didn't get the same kind of like display.
I just think she's like the puppet strings. I think Hunger Games, and she's like, I'm gonna do this, you do this. I just feel like it's very self-serving to everything that Kate
and
summed
also,
up.
What does that mean to act more like NeNe? I'd love if she could tell me. I'd love to know what she meant by that.
She'll probably write you a long statement that tells you nothing.
Lisa, please slide into Monty's DMs and let her know she has a couple. And we know that Lisa loves to chat, loves to talk. Maybe this will come up on dinner at LVP's or whatever the fuck the name of the new e-show is, Villa, whatever. I have to say, you know, listening to some of Vanessa's thoughts on Lisa Vanderpump, which P.S. hardcore team Kyle in that dynamic, so I'm extremely into this. If you could see, if you guys could see the glow that emanates out of my pores right now, you know, my trigger is someone who has been, it hasn't changed in any way, maybe it's deepened during certain seasons, but it's been very consistent, Danielle Staub. And I think a little bit about some of your reasons for not being necessarily team LVP, and from what Kate said, from like a empathy perspective. Mm-hmm. And I look at Danielle and I see the spiritual dark web where I look at someone who is like a, she is like, she evil. Is a black hole of evil. There is literally, genuinely nothing redeemable about her.
Nothing.
You could make that argument season one where it was like an everyone versus her and they were, I don't know, like felon shaming her or something. Like you could make that argument of, oh, I had a dark history with the name change and the however many times. I don't even remember the 19 times, but then it was
19 times.
Yeah, now I think
we're at like 20-something.
20, 21, 22 and a half. Like you could have that kind of conversation of, is this, you know, to use the favorite phrase, bullying or something, season one. But I think the true Danielle has always been there. And the problem is that a lot of people gave her the benefit of the doubt unnecessarily, either because they felt they needed to from a filming logistics perspective or they actually believed her. But I genuinely think she is one of the darkest, most evil people that I've ever seen on reality TV. I think she is a monster. I don't think that there is... I honestly think my number one trigger is the fact that she came to film with Caroline Manzo and brought an armed security guard. And there's one thing to bring a security person as a performative housewife action, which we've seen on Housewives reunions. We've seen on in the middle of episodes where a person, the idea of danger and harm is being used through the vehicle of a human prop. It is quite another thing to make sure that the person you are bringing with you to illustrate the idea of fear has a gun with them, potentially a loaded gun, and you make sure to communicate that to us. I think she is a dangerous, violent person who on her most recent season, before she pretended she was leaving a job she hasn't had in several years, she made sort of clear to us that she was looking for a reason to attack and assault Margaret. And maybe Teresa was involved in that. Maybe she wasn't. But at the end of the day, I have never seen more liquid glee in someone's eyes and in someone's eyes and face as I have in those screenshots of the pulling of the ponytail and that bullshit Stephen Dan $800 candle situation, where she's literally, you can see it's everything she's ever wanted and more while she attacks someone. I think she is a vile person. If there was ever, there's been the conversation of like, who do you want in Andy's Girls? Who do you not? I don't want her to know who I am. I don't want her to have, I don't want her to know my like Instagram handle. She scares me. I honestly, and I don't know if that comes from like an empathy perspective or just because I don't see any existing in her. Yeah. And according to Jacqueline Lurita, which I agreed with, those kids, their eyes,
they scare me. Thank you. You've said it. Thank you for saying that.
They scare the shit out of me. I can't imagine what they've been through. I have so much empathy for her children, and I hope that they are doing well. They both seem like very smart, capable young women.
I mean, one of them makes beautiful cakes. I like her cakes.
One of them makes beautiful cakes, and I love that journey for her. But I just have no interest in ever following a journey for Danielle again, and I take her at her word that she's retired from a position she hasn't had in a decade, and I wish for her the absolute least.
Okay, that was like, that took me to church.
I mean, that was probably catharsis for you, cathartic.
Well, like, wow.
I feel like we live in hell when we see her on TV. I don't think that there is a single redeemable. I have like a sub trigger, which we're not going to get into because there's not enough time. A certain sister on Beverly Hills who I think is also a dark spirit who can be a mean person, and because she has had a completely understandable, very complicated relationship and journey with addiction, which we have seen play out, I have a lot of sympathy and empathy for her. But I think separate from that, I do believe that Kim is like a nasty person. And so there's that. But there, I do also have a lot of sympathy and empathy for her. And I do think she's had some great moments. I have none of that positive feeling toward Danielle in any way. Like, in any way.
Understandable.
But flip side, Valentine's Day episode. I want to know, separate from who's your trigger, who is your Galentine? Somebody from the history of housewives, or a present housewife, former, past, present. Who is your housewife Galentine? Kate Casey, do you have a pick?
I've interviewed so many of them, and so few I actually like. And offline, I feel like, because my background is in crisis PR, that people ask me for advice and I'm dumb enough to give it all the time that they never take. And then I get angry because I'm like, I just wasted like 30 minutes of my time in my life. The one person who is just as they are on screen as off screen and is a true champion of women, is really smart, extremely introspective, and a good mom, solid person in business, is Heather Gay of Salt Lake City.
Thank God. If you were about to say somebody else, I was going to go.
Like,
real
who
nervous.
Is that? Wow.
Yeah. I don't like so many of them. They're terrible people, but I think she stands atop of the hill. Although I've interviewed a lot of them where I think, oh, they're great. Like, I enjoy, I would love to be at a dinner party with them. But she is like somebody I was like, I will keep in touch with her for the rest of my life.
She gives that vibe.
Yeah. She gives that energy.
Hashtag kinkles.
Monty, who's your pick? Who's your Galentine this Galentine's Day weekend, week, month situation? Whatever.
Current, it's going to be Portia. It's always going to be Portia. I think that Portia is just, she's a meme generator. She's a lifestyle, like, aspiration. She's hilarious. She's great. She's authentically herself. She's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the scene of her explaining how she even fell into the trap of Dennis and like opening her legs and showing how they just became more and more open. I just was like, it's so relatable because people do look at her and go, so how did you end up with that kind of like schlep? And she's like, let me tell you. And I really appreciate that she listens to us being like, Portia, girl. She's like, it's not that easy, girl, I promise. And so she would be my current. And then my past, and I know it, she's very triggering for a lot of people, but it's always for me going to be NeNe, because I just think she did.
Oh, I love NeNe.
So much for television. And I'm really fascinated, and it almost makes me, like, I got emotional in the car the other day, like, not liquor infused at all, by the fact that someone said, why isn't NeNe allowed to make the same kind of mistakes on TV? And I was like, that is such a good point. Like, she is currently, it feels like, flailing to stay afloat. She gets kicked off the show. She got punished the year before. And I mean, yes, she's done a lot and she said a lot of things, but a lot of them have. She went on an apology tour and they were like, not good enough. Whereas it feels like so many other housewives, they get to mess up year. I mean, Ramona has never apologized. And she has apology worthy moments every single season, like to almost every person that comes into the room that's new, she should apologize to for just honestly just being there in a lot of ways. And I just wondered the same thing. And I'm just, my heart goes out to Nene. I think she's a really special woman. And I think she knows that she's not, that she's flawed. And I think that that's something that we don't often see, is that she knows she's flawed and she's like, you know what? I'm doing the best I can and I want to do better, but I'm also like, you know, I am how I am. Like the epitome of what Lisa Barlow is trying to say to me, Nene actually lived. She's like, I don't want to always be this way, because she did a whole season with a life coach, but she's like, also, how am I going to change it? Like, it's an empire. And I really like the complexity that comes with Nene. So it's always, my Galentine is always going to be someone on Atlanta. Atlanta is just has my heart.
The best scene in Real Housewives, for in my opinion, in all of the seasons, is the moment where she goes looking to see her real father. And she drives past him and he's sitting on the curb, and the realization that he looks exactly like her son.
Oh.
And it was just like a punch to the gut. That to me was like the best of Real Housewives, that scene.
Yes. Complexity. That's literally what I'm talking about. Like, she gave us so many different versions of herself. And then, like, you have the obviously epically shady, fun side of her, where Phaedra's being introduced on the show. And it's her very first season. And she's in like a furry robe and she's cooking salmon and bacon with bedazzled eyelashes for her convict husband, Apollo. And Nene is just heard in the background going, Apollo is a convict. It's Phaedra is a lawyer. Maybe she represented him. I didn't know that was a thing. And I am just like, it's the best thing I've ever heard. Like, it's just like, she's like, this bacon's really fresh. And she goes, Apollo is a convict. And I'm just like, Nene to me is just, I think she's a national treasure.
Yeah.
Sam, who's your national treasure? Who's your Galentine?
Present? Oh, God. Well, first, I want to say my past one, okay. I believe, is Nene as well.
You get to choose. There's no wrong like, answer unless you choose Janelle.
I have so many. Okay. I love these women so much. Even the ones I don't like. The only one I genuinely hate who like is Kelly Dodd, obviously.
Yes, relatable.
Yeah, hate her so much. But every single one of them, like, I love in some way, because they put themselves out there, and that's just in a way that like I just could never do, and I just really respect them for that. And I also don't look at these women as like my moral compass. Like, I kind of like that they're all kind of train wrecks and like finding and they're all kind of like on a journey of some kind. I don't know, but anyways, I love Nene. I went on a long rant about this the other day on Instagram. Is when Nene was great, there was like no one better than Nene. Like, no one funnier, no one like quicker, no one like, she stole every single scene that she was in. And I mean, Portia like physically has assaulted multiple people and is like still on the show. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
Why does a Nene get a second chance?
Right. And like, Vicky was involved in a cancer scam. Like, where is the line that we're drawing here? Because I don't think Nene has ever done anything that bad.
Her husband had real cancer.
Oh, Greg. I love Greg.
Oh my God. The fact that we have to call it real cancer.
Welcome to Bravo.
Yeah. Welcome to Bravo. It's a shit show. It's
City
a shit show.
City of Nope on that one.
City of Nope.
And who's your current?
Oh my God. It's like a tie. So anyone on Potomac, really, I love Candace, which is like very controversial.
We're talking to a Basset Hound, guys. So I just want to make sure you are all aware.
That's actually a really cute name for fans.
I love her so much. I think she's really funny. Karen is a favorite. And I'm really, yeah, those two are my favorites right now.
Karen's a good Galentine. She would be a fun person to have drinks with. Like, she's
Karen would probably be so fun.
She's a hoot.
And that's what Ashley always tries to like really give you. Well, she always is like, I want Karen to be how she is when it's just me and Karen. And because like, and Andy said at this past reunion, like, Karen's kind of starting to let her guard down a little bit. and not be this, like, you know, grand dame, like, you know, kind of persona. Like, she was just full on Karen, just getting drunk, like taking shots. Like, it was amazing.
Love it.
Vanessa, who's your pick representing you? Maybe representing you and Abby through the real.
Yeah. Real so moment. I would say Abby and I both love Kyle Richards. A lot of people are tired of her splits and hair flips. We can't get enough of it. But I just think Kyle is just kind of a classic. She's my classic choice. I mean, I'm going to keep it simple with Kyle. I think the other person that I feel like needs a moment, and I think I love this person so much only because of how much they love themselves, the amount of self-love this person possesses is amazing to me and a type of confidence that I aspire to, and that is Lady Morgan. Sonia Morgan.
That's a good one. How did
that we not get there?
No, but Sonia.
Yeah, me neither.
Sonia loves. I mean, I've never seen someone talk so proudly of her sex life and vagina, and like, there's no shame in it. She loves who she is, and she fully embraces it. And I love that. I want that for myself now and later in life. She's unapologetic.
When she walked over and kissed that random woman at her own party where she was looking like Donatella Versace on the cover of a magazine that no one's heard of, I just thought, what a moment.
Yeah.
This is truly historical, and I think that I'm grateful for
Sonia. I just think she has there's a lot of disillusionment with a lot of these women, and Sonia definitely has that, but she's never lost sight of liking herself. And
she's really a girl's girl.
Yes,
like, and for real,
I'm a girl.
She always calls Ramona out, but then like it's like still very loyal to her. I just, without it being delusional.
Yes,
Sonia is.
I love. I'm a girl's girl, so she's my girl.
I loved the pairing of Bethany and Sonia because I think Bethany has like a really good sense of humor about Sonia, and is like, everyone's always trying to tell Sonia like she's dumb or she's out of touch or anything. I think Sonia's like very tuned in, but doesn't talk about it all the time. Like when she finally admitted like why Tinsley really bothered her, Bethany was like, why haven't you just said that this whole time? And she's like, because no one lets me talk. And she's like, no, they do. You just talk way too much.
Yeah.
And like how she just gets like so drunk, like she's amazing. But speaking of Tinsley, she's my trigger.
Oh,
I am very triggered by Tinsley.
Relatable.
I could see that. About that when Abby was talking, I could get that. I get Alexis, that. I 100% could see that, the same sort of argument when I mean, that was Bethany's argument about her. Yeah.
And Dorinda's too. Team Dorinda all the way. I find Tinsley to be so triggering. Like, this, like, you know, my parents pay for everything. Like, I'm gonna have my, like, she's essentially, she's just that little princess that I just like, I can't connect with you. Like, you're not a real person to me. Like, you wear these like ballerina skirts and like these tights and these nails and
an
these
American
bangles.
Girl doll.
Yeah.
She's an American girl doll.
I'm like, be a real person. Like, and Scott is a fucking toad.
I feel like
I don't know why everyone's talking like he's some like Prince Charming. Yeah, I'm like, he's a fucking loser.
I get triggered by that in my actual real life all the time. People that like were handed things and didn't work from nothing. That's because I've come from nothing. So I relate to that. I'm like, and the fact she's like, I just bought 3 pairs of golden gooses. I'm like, you have no sense of the real world and how absurd that is.
No, and I just don't find it interesting. I don't think it's funny. I think, I don't know. There's just something about her that I find like very, very triggering.
Also,
especially like her eggs.
Also, when I having children is annoying to watch her when she talks about her dogs. Like, there are babies. I'm like, wait till you have to breastfeed a dog, okay? That's not your baby.
And I just rewatched Bethany's last season recently, and there was, like, this really amazing – there was a couple scenes like this, actually, with Bethany and Ramona and Tinsley. And I just found it to be very interesting because Bethany and Ramona both had kids much older. Like, they, you know, were in their 40s. They – And so Tinsley's talking like, oh, I want to have a baby. I want to have it. And they're like, you can have a baby. Like, if that's something that you really, really want, you can have it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they were like, well, how long have you been with Scott? And she's like, oh, 2 years. And they're like, that's like dog years when you're 40 and you want a kid. Like, why aren't you making these things happen? And I just thought it was really interesting to see Bethany and Ramona, who always kind of fight, come together and like really try to help this girl like realize what she really wants. And I loved that.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say that my Galentine, I don't know why it sort of dovetails into this, and this is a very problematic transition for me to make, but from the idea of helping someone see what they want, I have a problematic Galentine who all of the AGs know I have loved for years. And I'm not going to say that we're consciously uncoupling. I'm just going to say that maybe a new Supreme has risen, who I'll get to in a second. But from the perspective of looking at someone and just feeling a kinship with them, and that doesn't always mean the best things. It means in the struggle of understanding and loving ourselves, which has to come first. My Galentine spiritually, I sent out a printed mailing of 100 Galentine's cards a couple years ago with a photo of myself from me and my best friend. My Galentine is and will always be in many ways Shannon Storms Bedore.
Really? Woman, Sarah.
Yeah, take a moment. A woman who I Sam is
Pages hit you with the full mom skull.
I just want to say,
I know you know better.
That Shannon has struggled. She has been in difficult relationships, and there has been a point, even though I haven't watched a single episode of Orange County this season, there has been a point in me thinking about
You didn't even watch one episode?
Not a single second.
I watched one episode.
The only season of any franchise I haven't watched.
It Bless your hearts, because I.
Thank you.
I couldn't do it. I don't know how. And I don't know where to start.
I don't participate in a boycott. If you want to watch and it gives you something, 100% fully endorse and condone that. I just knew that I honestly talking about triggers. Yeah. It would have been. I knew like genuinely, because I talk about Housewives with my psychiatrist and therapist, both of whom I meet with weekly. I knew that it was going to be like they know all about Candace. Like I knew it was going to be like a whole thing if I even started. Sam is having a moment to herself. But I have to say with Shannon, sometimes I think that I want more for Shannon than Shannon does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there are ways in which I look at her. Mm-hmm. And I project my own like self-esteem stuff and sometimes anxiety stuff and like not communicating anger so that it translates in my behavior as sadness. Like there is a core to her that I don't know actually exists in her body, but it does in my idea of who she is.
I see.
Where I want her to do well, and sometimes I think that she wants it too, but her behavior doesn't equal that interest or that projection. But I still love her, and I think that she's obviously given us quality moments. I also do acknowledge that I probably want more for her than she does, just based on her behavior and her choices. Like, I haven't seen a single episode of Orange County this season, but I've heard about her relationship with John. Yeah, John. Of course I should know this. John. And I don't see this being a guy who's that different from David Bedore, but I also haven't seen any of it, so like I should truly go fuck myself. But for a long time it was a genuine positive love where it didn't feel complicated. Like even when she had a tougher season, I still felt like this is a woman who's like who's really struggling but who wants to be better and wants to make a problematic marriage work. And I love that for her. And she will always be a Galentine. But I do have to say, you know, several of us were on a Zoom with the cast of Salt Lake City before the premiere. And, you know, I have never felt such an immediate, instinctive, almost obsessive love as I do for Heather Gay. And it feels like, as Kate said, I mean,
that
I haven't
feels
had
right
her.
For you.
It feels very right for me. I haven't had her on AG yet because I honestly haven't asked her because I just like
she
I just
loves.
Wanted to, like,
she's pro women. She'd be in there in a heartbeat.
And I would love that, but I haven't even wanted to invite her until I saw every single episode of this season first, just like a safety precaution before I maul her with affection. But I just really feel like this is someone who herself is a Bravoholic, who has had such an interesting journey, who was pushed out or alienated from her, cultural center with the Mormon community and with her husband and maybe, you know, a large circle of friends because their marriage didn't work out, and has really pushed to try to figure out the kind of woman that she wants to be now. And I always think, like, it's never too late to decide to make a change. And I think she's the perfect example of it. And she's also done some, like, throwback IG stuff of posts from several years ago where she's giving love to Andy just as a Bravo viewer, and watching a full circle moment of someone who's like in our community as a Bravoholic who's now a genuine Bravo sensation is so inspiring. Because if I asked all of you guys, I'm sure I would get 1,000 different answers in the best possible way of like, would you ever want to do a Bravo show? And I don't know that that has always been a dream of Heather's, but I do know that she understands the community and the heart of what it means to be a Bravo fan. And it doesn't, to me, in any way change or take away from what to me has been a magnificent first season. And I just feel a lot of appreciation and affection for her, because some people look at Bravo as being a dirty little secret or like a guilty pleasure. And I've never really felt that way. I don't think that there's anything guilty about it. And Kate, you talked about your background in crisis PR, and I've done event consulting for several years, which means I'm, you know, in environments where I'm grateful enough to be with celebrities or, electeds here in New York City or whomever else, business people. And when we start talking, I honestly naturally bring up Housewives, because I don't care who the fuck you are. If we're going to have a conversation about something and, you know, what do you like to do? I'm going to talk about watching Bravo, because I don't think there's anything that should feel guilty about it. What I have loved is the conversations I've had with like very successful businesswomen who want to talk about Ramona or want to talk about something else, where it's like we wouldn't have this kind of conversation necessarily otherwise. But through the language of Bravo, we can have really intimate conversations with people who may have been an actual stranger 3 minutes before. Mm-hmm. But because we all know this language and love to watch these women's stories, we're able to have the kinds of dialogues that we were able to have today. So I just want to show my, just say some thanks to you guys and some appreciation and gratitude. And thanks to Kate, especially, for giving me the idea for this. And I hope that this is one of many conversations where we can get together and shoot the shit and talk about these women. And in doing so, talk about ourselves. So I just want to say happy Galentine's to you lovely gals. And thank you so much for being a part of this, because I know I learned at least 15 things about myself in this conversation today, and I hope it's been as fun for you as it's selfishly been for me. I just want to cheers you guys and thank you so much for being a part of this Galentine's Day episode.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
And I'm grateful for other people's opinions, because it definitely helped shape my own and other people's perspectives, and grateful for the work that all of you do. And you're all welcome to come on my show anytime you want. And,
it's a dream of mine, actually. I started my podcast because of Real Moms of Bravo and Kate Casey. That is the only two podcasts that I was listening at the time. And I was like, I'm going to be on it one day. You just wait.
You're on.
Any others? Do you want to run her up to that, Monty?
Well, to be honest, Sarah, you were the first real person that I asked to be on that I was scared of. And I remember prepping for you to come on for a very long time and telling my now fiance, I was like, so she's like the real deal. And I don't know how this is going to go. And I was so nervous. And you were like, here's my bio. And I was like, she has a bio. I don't have a bio. I need a bio. And so honestly, you've all shaped how I do content creation, podcasting. Samantha, you and your memes, it's shaped so much of how I even connect to the world. And now that people are feeling like connected to me, I'm just like, oh my God, you don't know. It took a village.
Women supporting women. This is what this is all about.
Supporting women.
It does take a village. It does. Don't you think it does take a village? Absolutely. I just said that 14 times.
Yeah, but it does.
We all need. We all really need each other. We need each other to the support of one another to grow our shows or our Instagrams or our businesses, whatever it is. So.
And speaking of gratitude, ladies, can we all promo your amazing podcast content creations, Instagram pages, starting with Real Moms of Bravo? Mm-hmm. Vanessa, tell us where to follow you and listen to your podcast. And hype.
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at Real Moms of Bravo. And you can listen to us wherever you're listening to this podcast, Real Moms of Bravo. And we come out with episodes every week. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/realmomsofbravo.
Amazing. Kate Casey.
Reality Life with Kate Casey. Anywhere where you listen to podcasts, twice a week, Wednesdays, Fridays, interviews with reality stars, executive producers, and directors. And I have a Patreon, patreon.com/ Kate Casey. Twitter at Kate Casey, Instagram at Kate Casey CA, and Clubhouse at Kate Casey.
Love. Bravo historian, aka Sam.
Well, you can tell that you all do podcasts because you guys are all so well spoken. Like
the podcast voice came on.
It really did. You were like at Real Moms of Bravo. And I was like, you guys make me sound like I'm drooling on my mic. Like I sound like a fucking idiot. No. You can just follow me on Instagram at Bravo Historian.
Look at that beautiful fireplace. Excuse
me, that's a big deal. You can also see her on Watch What Happens Live. Yes. She is not in the audience. She is actually a guest talking to
low
me. And
key. Yes. Low key.
Yeah. I had a meltdown that morning.
That's a high achievement.
Yes.
Monty Marcus, tell us a little bit about where to follow you on IG and Mixing with Monty.
Yeah, you can listen to me anywhere you listen to everyone else who has plugged themselves as well. And follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mixing with Monty, MixingWithMani. And I actually have a Potomac live event, a virtual event happening. Mm-hmm. I was approached by Speakeasy, which is like a kind of like a TED Talk thing. And we're doing a Housewives mixer on February the 25th. And yeah, tickets are on sale now, but they are almost sold out, but I'm hoping amazing. That's a good thing because it means they will actually add another one. And I'm hoping to be able to do like each franchise. Like,
it'll
be
my God, that's amazing.
Of yeah. why they made it or why they tanked, you know, like that's the whole thing. It's like, we're doing Potomac first, why it became a big deal, how it went from, you know, this one thing to like this major thing and how content creators had a lot to do with that. So,
you know what they do. Thank you for pointing that out. That is so true.
Amen. Mad respect. Love that. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to participate in it. And super into it. Coming up with words that are escaping my brain. When Sam was talking about eloquence, I think she didn't see into the future what I was about to spew. So appreciate it. Guys, speaking of all things Gab, a Galentine's Gab. What? I forgot to rename Galentine's until just now. But Galentine's Gab can be had for those at the OG of the AG level on the Andy Scrolls Patreon, the number one way to support yours truly and her shoe addiction, let alone financial debt. So go to patreon.com/andysgirls. This is an exclusive Zoom Kiki where you guys get to really chat with each other. And listen, you get to have your own kind of little panel, which I love. That will be Thursday, February 25th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's an exclusive Zoom Kiki with yours truly, available to the OG of the AG level, as well as the new premium level on Patreon, the People's People's Couch, where you can guest on an Andy's Girls Patreon episode with me, ask me any questions, or choose a topic for me to discuss. More info, patreon.com/andysgirls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley, and I hope everyone has a great Galentine's Day to the AGs listening, and that you're able to have a COVID-safe and friendly way to celebrate a significant other in your life, or better yet, just yourself. That's enough. And speaking of appreciation, a little Galentine's Day treat that I have been working on for a little bit of time with friend of the pod, Dylan Hafer of Bravo by Betches. This is the premiere song, That's What Friends of Are For, which is written and performed by Dylan and myself. celebrating the friends.
Oh my God.
Inspired by the Dionne Warwick classic.
Oh,
and yes, there is also a video premiere, which you can find on my Instagram at Dame Gally while listening to this song. That is just a video tribute to our favorite friends of On the Housewives, some of whom used to be former full-timers who were demoted. And I hope that you guys enjoy that closing out this episode. Apologies to some of those friends of in advance for some of the lyrics that we wrote. But I think that if you have a sense of humor, you'll still get a chuckle. Vicky, are you listening? Ladies, on that note, thank you so much for participating in this Galentine's panel episode, and I look forward to chatting with all of you again soon. Happy Galentine's Day!
Happy Galentine's Day!
Happy Galentine's Day!
Thanks for having us.
Honestly.
My pleasure, and guys, enjoy this premiere song exclusive.
Never thought I'd feel this way, and as far as I'm concerned, you've driven story through today.
And it's time that we say thank you. And if Housewives ever goes away, think of Dana Palin and cry. The glasses were 25K.
And we always will remember. Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you are almost center screen. For sure, that's what friends are for.
In G times
and D times, a piece of shit and everyday cocoa. That's what friends are for. Well, you came in the OG,
then became the DOT,
and the OC said bye woo-hoo. Oh, and then Kenya's drums drove us apart, but every Bravo-holic knows that Marlo plays a crucial part.
So do Tanya and Shamia. Oh,
keep smiling and keep shining, knowing you are almost center screen. For sure, that's what friends are for.
In I do times and Sassoon times,
Sutton's diamond returned to her store. That's what friends are for. Keep smiling, keep shining. For sure, that's what friends are for.
In cool times, not on cool times,
Elise is pushed aside forevermore.
And Barb will be mayor. Keep smiling, keep shining.
No. Are almost center screen. Oh, for sure. Cause Andy tells you that's what friends are for. Whoa, good times and the bad times will be in your debt
forevermore.
That's what friends are for.
That's what friends are for.
That's what friends are for.
We love you, Marlo.
Give Marlo a peach. A spiritual peach.
The friends are what it's all about. You gotta have friends.
Is Mary a friend? Technically?
Only invited to one part of the reunion. But they left their mom.
That is what friends are for.
The friends are what it's all about.
Shout out to our friends, mazel of the day, to friendship.